Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing that was, and what a blessing it is just being in church today. I trust that you have sensed the presence of the Lord in this place as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke, chapter 6, Luke in chapter 6. If you'll stand, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. In the book of Luke in chapter 6, we'll be reading verse 1 down to verse 11. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a-hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests only. And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking around about upon them all, he said unto them, unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we do love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. And thank you for the many opportunities to make available to us just to draw closer to you. Lord, I pray this morning for this worship service and all that are assembled here in this auditorium. God, that you would give each one of us that ear to hear what you have for us and a heart to make an application. I pray, God, once again, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Lord Jesus was here on this earth and wanting to reveal the very things of God, the ways of God, the thoughts of God to the human race. In verse 8, the Bible says, as he was getting ready to heal on the Sabbath day, that he knew their thoughts. There's no doubt that Almighty Creator God, being omniscient, omnipotent, God that He is, He knows the thoughts of humanity. The question that we need to ask this morning, and I think this is going to be the main part of the message here, is do we know God's thoughts? Do we know God's will? Do we know of God's ways? You see, it's God's thoughts that really is what matters. Not opinion, not philosophy, not religion. What really matters and should really matter is God's thoughts. If we believe in a God and we know Him to be a creator God, then we ought to have a desire to know His thoughts for our lives, for humanity. Jesus wanted them all to understand God's thinking. Can I tell you, he was coming, he was transitioning the Old Testament to the New Testament, the Old Testament law, the Old Testament prophets, to New Testament Christianity. And the Old Testament was preparing humanity for the ultimate coming of the Messiah. And when Jesus, the Messiah, would come, he would change all things. And he would present New Testament Christianity, which in principle would be in agreement with everything that the law in the Old Testament was presented to teach man. And so now, while he was here, he was battling the thoughts and the religious Pharisees. He was battling the philosophies and the opinions of humanity. And he wanted all humanity to understand the most important thing, and that is God's thoughts. Picking and eating corn here on the Sabbath day, verses 1 through 4. Now, we know that he was able to provide food for 5,000 and then 4,000. It would not have been impossible for him to have provided food for his disciples even on the Sabbath day. But this was a planned experience. He wanted them to eat the corn on the Sabbath day, for he knew that it would cause the Pharisees and the others to question what was going on. And if they questioned what was going on, if they would believe Jesus to be who he said he was and would listen to what he had to say, they would actually be able to understand the thoughts of God. And so picking and eating corn on the Sabbath day, he used the example of someone that they would highly respect. All the Jews looked to David, King David, and they understood the man that he was. And he used him as an example to try to help them to get to see what he wanted them to see. And then we find, and if we go on down to verse 6 through 10, we find the healing on the Sabbath day. So again, he did this on purpose. He understood what day it was. But he was trying to help the people to get over their own religion, to get over their philosophies, and to get over the opinion of humanity, to come to the place that they would understand the thinking and the mind of God. Verse 5 was very key to both of these examples, and that is, he was teaching them that he was Lord of the Sabbath. In Mark in chapter 2 and verse 27, in this same account given to us by Mark, he states this. Mark writes, he said, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." They were treating the Sabbath as something that was more important than humanity. They were treating the Sabbath as if it was man created for the Sabbath. And that was not the thinking of God. Can I tell you that the Sabbath was very important? It was to establish by God to benefit man. The things that the Sabbath would do for man is for man to understand the importance of work, rest, and worship. They would understand that when they would understand why God designed the Sabbath. Because, first of all, they were to work 6 days. Get caught up on the Sabbath or get caught up on the worship. But can I tell you, the Sabbath was stated that man would work for 6 days. The importance of work. Can I tell you that humanity needs to understand the importance of work? It's God's will for man to work. A person that will not work will accomplish nothing with their lives. And so he wanted them to understand that God, first of all, God's will for your life at this time is that you work Get up. Go out 6 days of the week and serve. Just go out 6 days of the week and do the work that I've called you to do. Do the work to support your families. Do the work to build the society. Do the work that you're there to do. Work for 6 days. And then he gave them this idea of rest. There's more people that need to learn the principle of work than need to learn the principle of rest. But it was something that some need to understand. You're not to work 24/7 because you can overdo it. There is a need for rest. Our limited physical bodies need rest. Amen. The Sabbath would present this. The Sabbath was designed for humanity to understand that there is a need to work 6 days a week. And there is a need to rest. Your body needs rest. And our spiritual well-being requires worship. The Sabbath would help us, designed by God, for mankind to understand work, rest, and worship. But they were confused. And they were not thinking right. Because they elevated the Sabbath to be above man. So what Jesus Christ was wanting them to learn in this Luke chapter 6 on this idea of the Sabbath is exactly the same things that God would have you and I to learn today. The Sabbath was important. There's a reason for that. There's a design for that. But we need to, the first thing that he wanted them to learn is that they needed to accept the fact that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was designed for man. Man was not designed for the Sabbath. And the very same thing holds true is Jesus is Lord of the heavens. The heavens were designed for man and not man for the heavens, which also helps us understand that Jesus is Lord of the earth. Man was not designed for the earth. The earth was designed for man. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as you heard this choir sing this morning. We must accept the fact that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is Lord of the Sabbath, he is Lord of the heavens, he is Lord of the earth. To be more concerned about global warming than the needs of the people is simply to say that you don't believe in a living Creator God. If you believe in a living Creator God, then you realize that God created the earth. He's in control of the earth, and the earth is going to be around as long as God wants it to be around because it was designed for man. Man was not designed for the earth. The earth is not more important than humanity. God designed the earth. He created all things. And the last of his creation, everything that he created was for and designed for the crown of creation. And the crown of creation is humanity. So we need to get off this understanding that, wait a minute, wait, that the man, the earth is more important than man. No, I believe that we ought to be good stewards of whatever God has created and whatever God has given to us. But man was not made for the earth, but the earth for man. Jesus is Lord, and he is very much alive and well today. Let's not lose sight of that. We get caught up in opinion. We get caught up in philosophy. We even get caught up in religion. And Jesus came to set it straight. Listen to me. Don't get caught up in opinions. And don't get caught up in your philosophy or the philosophy of humanity. Don't get caught up in religion. Understand first and foremost, I am Lord of Lords. What we need to understand is God's thinking, God's thoughts. And whatever it is that we're dealing with, we need to look to God and say, Lord, help me to know your plan. Help me to know your will. Help me to know, if you will, your thoughts. And when you know the thoughts of God, you'll make the right decisions. Accept the fact. Jesus here, this is exactly why he had both of these examples, both of these things. He had his disciples eat the corn on the Sabbath because he knew that they would question. And if they questioned, he would be able to give them the answer. But whether or not they would listen to his answer was going to be up to them. Whether or not you and I will listen to the very thoughts of God was going to be up to you and I. God does not force us. But oh, how important it is for us to know. He knows our thinking. But do we know his? We need to accept the fact that Jesus is a Lord, and he is alive, and he is doing very well today. The second thing that we look at here that he wants them to understand is that they need to accept Christ's words as God's. You see, Old Testament, they looked to God. And Jesus came. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was God. And God the Son being manifested in the flesh. He wanted them to accept His words as being God's words. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, he said, the heaven and earth is going to pass away. I have a design for it, but it's going to be gone. It's temporary. The heavens is talking about the atmosphere. The atmosphere, the air that we breathe, we need that to sustain human life. God has a purpose for the atmosphere and taking care of this planet Earth. He understands that, but he said that that atmosphere is only temporary. It's only going to be here as long as man needs it to be here. And the earth. It was designed for man, and it's only going to be around as long as man needs it to be around, to complete God's design for humanity. In the end, we find that the earth is going to be totally burned up. He destroyed the earth with the flood the first time. He made a promise that he would not ever destroy the earth with water again. Didn't make a promise he wouldn't destroy the earth. And we find in the Word of God that he tells us that in the end, after the tribulation, at the millennial reign, that the earth will be totally burned up because, listen to me, in a glorified body, in a place of heaven, there's no more need for our atmosphere and there's no more a need for this present earth. But we'll have a new heaven and a new earth that will go along with our new bodies for an eternity. We need to accept Christ's words as being God's words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but this is what he says, my words. Identifying him as God. Identifying what he came to present and what he came to teach was exactly the very thoughts of God. For this New Testament church age, it's the very thoughts of God and God's purpose and plan for humanity. He wanted them to accept His words as God's. My words shall not pass away. You see, the Bible is here to make man aware of God's thoughts. We still have it. Amen. We still have it. This is the words of Jesus Christ written down and preserved so that we might have the very mind and the thoughts of God. And when we comply to it, you can build with God's hand the greatest nation on this planet. You can establish an America that was faith-based, that was built upon the Bible that we hold in our hands today. Amen. Oh, how we need to get back to remembering it's His Word that matters. The Bible is here to make man aware of God's thoughts. When left up to a free will, it can be very frustrating to get others to think right. You see, we don't have to take a poll to determine what we believe. You should not have to take a poll to determine what you believe, as long as we have the Bible. See, it's not my thinking that I want to try to help people to come to. I want to help people to come to understanding it's the Bible which gives us the thinking of God that is most important in our society. But when it's left up to a free will, I mean, there's been many a times I've been in many conversations that I've been, I wish I could just take an... Come on! How can you not see the truth? Amen. And one of the lines I use, what are you thinking? Evidently, I know it's wrong thinking. You need to get your thinking aligned with the Word of God. And you're trying to help them and they just will not do it. When it's left up to a free will, it can be very frustrating. When you're trying to help people, and the only way you can help them is to get them to the place where they're more concerned about what God says than public opinion, philosophy, or religion. Now, when you're raising teenagers, you can force them. You're going to think the way I tell you to think, amen? When you leave this house, then you can think for yourself. But right now, amen, listen to me, parents, we have that opportunity to help them to think right. Amen. Don't leave it up to their own ways and their own thinking to decide for themselves what they're going to think. The world wants to control what they think. The devil wants to work through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the world to get them to a place of wrong thinking. While you have an opportunity, you are to establish in your home and in raising them what they are to think.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's good.
My father, praise the Lord, I knew exactly how he thought. And any time that I would try to get away with a different way of thinking and a different way of living, he would make sure that I would come back. Amen. That helped me. It helped me to not be persuaded by a lot of things that I would have been persuaded by if it had not been for a loving, disciplinarian father that knew what I needed. When you understand the truth and you understand it's what people need, you'll use your influence to help them to come to the realization of the truth. It can be very frustrating, but it's what we need to do. As long as we have the Bible, we can know what's best to think. I love that song that we sing in junior church. Many of you have sang it, I'm sure, and raising it. Hopefully it's something that you maybe want your children to learn. It's the B-I-B-L-E. Amen? It's the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone upon the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Bible. Oh, how we need to stand upon that. Yes. How we need to understand that is here to reveal to humanity what God thinks. And that is what's most important, is what God thinks. Jesus says... He knew their thoughts. He understood, and that's why this was designed. It was designed for them to know God's thoughts. Accept the fact that Jesus is Lord. Accept the fact that Christ's words are God's words. And the last thing I want to present to you this morning, and possibly the most important, we need to learn to agree with it. I guarantee, as I look at my life, I've not always agreed with the words of God. If I was doing it my way, I would have done it differently. But when I understand it's God's words, then I understand that His words and His thinking is so much better than my thinking. His ways are so much better than my ways. And the best thing I can do for me and for anyone else that I have an opportunity to influence is to get my thinking aligned with His thinking. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Book of Wisdom. What a great book, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in chapter 14, verse 12 down to verse 14. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It might seem right at the certain point in your life. When I was a teenager, I thought I ought to be able to do whatever I want to do. And if I would have been allowed to do whatever I want to do, I would have messed up my life. Because my thinking was not where it needed to be. And there was a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If your thinking is not in alignment with God's thinking, the end of that thought life is death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Even in laughter, you're doing it the way you want it, but it's not really ministering to you as your heart needs to be ministered to. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. You get to do what you want to do, and you get to go on your own and think the way you want to think and live the way you want to live. And for temporarily, you might have a little bit of outward laughter and outward joy, but it's not meeting the need that you have. It's not quenching that thirst. It's not what you really have need of. The end of that is heaviness. The backslider in heart should be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You get that? From himself. Turn away from your own thinking and turn to God's thinking, because God's ways are what we need to satisfy the soul. Yeah. What a great passage in the book of Proverbs. You see, when my thinking does not agree with God's thinking, I must change my thoughts. Stop trying to change the word. Stop trying to change what God says to agree with humanity, to agree with philosophy, to agree with opinions and even religion. Stop trying to change the words of God and simply change your thinking so that it agrees with what God's already said. Amen. Luke in chapter 6, as we conclude here this morning, verses 9 through 11, Jesus knew why the Sabbath was established. He understood why God. He was there in the beginning. He was there to establish the law. He was there to establish the Sabbath day and how important it was for them to adhere to God's standards and God's plan for the Sabbath day. But it was designed for humanity, and now He comes to understand and to teach them so that they would understand the design for God's Sabbath day. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? Looking around about upon them all, He said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. This man was in the synagogue. This man would have understood Old Testament law. He would have understood that if he was to do something on the Sabbath day, especially with the Pharisees around, that they could actually take his life, because he would have been looked at as breaking the Old Testament laws of the Sabbath. And he had to come to this decision. Am I going to agree with religion? Or am I going to look to Jesus Christ and believe that he is Lord of lords and accept his words as the very words of God and do what he tells me to do? He would have to make that decision in front of the Pharisees, in front of the religious rulers. And he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Can I tell you, I think there was some excitement after changing his thinking to agree with the thoughts and the words of Christ. And there was joy. And there was blessings. And there was an awareness of the power of God. The man that did what Jesus said to do was healed. When the Pharisees, on the other hand, they hardened their heart and were filled. I can't understand this. They just saw a miracle right before their very eyes. They just heard the very words of Jesus Christ, but they were so caught up in their own religion. They were so caught up in their own philosophies, in their own opinions, that they wouldn't even acknowledge what their own eyes had just seen to realize this is the Lord of Lords. This is the King of Kings. And their hearts were hardened. They was filled with madness and commune one with another what they might do to Jesus. It's happening all over our world today, but mainly it's happening in the United States of America. What are we going to believe? Who are we going to side with? Let's wait till the polls come out, and then I'll make my decision based on the polls, based on this, and based on, listen to me. You focus on agreeing with what God has revealed to us. Learn to agree with God's word. God knows your thoughts. The question here this morning, question you have to ask yourself: do I know his thoughts? And am I changing my thoughts to agree with his thoughts? I trust that we'll all leave here with a desire to change our thinking so that it aligns itself with his thinking. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. The Lord Jesus Christ came to reveal to us New Testament Christianity. He came to help us to have right thinking, understanding what God's thoughts are, and if our thoughts would differ from that, to change our thinking so that our thinking can be aligned with what thus saith the Lord. Let me ask you something this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you know what God says you must do to be saved? I'm not asking you, do you know what religion says? I'm not asking you what your own personal opinion is on this. I'm asking you, have you looked into God's Word to know for sure what God says a person must do to be saved? That's the only way that you can truly know that you are saved, because you have based your salvation upon what God says we must do. If you've not done that, today is the day that you need to get saved. Let somebody take a Bible and share with you what the Bible says that you must do. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Today is that day. Father, we love you. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the very words that we have read and studied and preached. And I pray right now, God, that you'd help each one here to receive this message and to make whatever decisions that they need to make based upon your thoughts. Work in the midst of us here. In Jesus' name we pray.